My name is Bill White, if I haven't met you, and my wife Rachel and I, we have four sons, 20, 18, 16, and 14, which means that we actually have a lot of girls around right now. I get to spend a lot of time with girls, and just kind of the way that works, you think you're having sons, and you're going to avoid girls that way, and you don't. They all come around, they find you. So we are in the middle of all of that. I've also been working for the better part of the last 4 years. I'm one of our elders here, and Kevin Jones, another one of our elders, really kind of challenged me to help the women of our church think through some issues related to a theology of femininity. So for about 4 years, I've been working on that. And so I don't know how many meetings. I would say probably 150 conservatively intentional meetings with the women of our church in trying to understand some of how the scriptures need to be synthesized and applied to where women are living in our culture. So it's been very intentional and spent a lot of time doing that. And having a bunch of teenagers and seeing the way in which girls interact with my teenage sons, and I'm pretty in touch with a lot of that. So I'm not an expert, but I'm just giving you all of those things to help you understand why I might be speaking to this subject tonight if that seems a little bit odd to you. I want to, having listened to Jimmy talk about some of that, let me just give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, some of you are here, and after listening to him speak, you're probably really overwhelmed because you don't know how to begin to engage, and as he was rattling off all of those kind of metrics that you could use to understand if you have a problem, you know, he didn't propose a bunch of solutions for all of that, which was very convenient, I thought. He's just going to make us all see what all the problems are and then make you think, I mean, what is worse than having a 40-year-old man in your basement who's addicted to porn and who's spending all his money on video games? I was like, you could not put a more detestable image in the minds of the parents of our church. I mean, I could see that in my head, and I just thought, that won't happen, I can tell you, in my home. He will not be in my basement. He might be somewhere else, but he won't be in my basement. So here's what I'd say, is we're introducing a subject to you that is overwhelming, and this is an introduction. This is the beginning of a conversation. And we're going to invite you into it, and it's nuanced, and you're going to have to figure it out. And there are some of you who are sitting here who are very self-satisfied right now. And you feel really spiritual because your kids don't have a gaming console. All right? And I want to suggest to you that you should not feel that way. That you are dealing with something that is more complicated than the hardware that you have in your home. And there are a couple of ways that we can be lazy on this. I'm not saying you're lazy if you don't have a gaming console, all right? But here's what I'm going to say. There are a couple of ways that we can be lazy on all this. Is we can, and we have people on both ends of the continuum in our church, and you have to follow your conscience, all right? The things that we're talking about are matters of Christian liberty. You understand what I mean by that? I mean, we can't make rules to govern for you what you should do or what you shouldn't do. We'll give you some diagnostic questions. We'll try to share some wisdom with you. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to navigate this, and the Holy Spirit's going to have to guide you, and you're going to have to make wise decisions. You're going to need wisdom. But your children are going to necessarily engage the problems that are built into what we're talking about. And by not allowing them to have a cell phone, or not allowing them to have, and we got way too many kids who are running around with way too much technology, all right? And so I can tell you what my own personal convictions on some of that are, but I'd rather not do that because then we're so self-righteous, we begin to measure ourselves, we get any standard, we begin to look down on other people, and we begin to, and some of you are already wrestling with that anyway. You got to be convinced in your own conscience about what's good and wise and what your family can handle and how you can navigate it. And some of you need to not have things because you don't have the level of relationship to be able to lead through them. Some people can have some freedoms that you may not be able to have because they actually have a level of maturity in their relationships with their children, and they've done a level of training with their children that it's actually not a problem for their children. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so this is an issue of Christian liberty. And so whether you're on the end of the spectrum where you feel like, oh my gosh, we've not been thinking about this, we've not been intentional, we've got so much work to do, then I want to encourage you and say, that's why we're having this, we're starting this conversation. And you have a leadership challenge, which is not just about regulating media, it's about building credibility with your children so that you actually have a voice in how they live their life and what wisdom looks like. It's a larger parenting issue. But if you're here and you feel like we're above that, then here's what I want you to understand, is you can choose to avoid all of these things. And we have, I've engaged with some parents. I was talking to one of our young women. She was 18 years old. She wasn't allowed to have texting on her phone. And wasn't allowed to date, and sisters weren't allowed to date, and friends weren't allowed to date, and they were a part of a subculture that was pretty intense about all that. And there were good reasons behind all of that, but as I began to engage, I realized this girl has not been trained in how to think about these things. The parents think that by putting some restrictions on the life that they live and spiritualizing those restrictions, that they've done their job to do what Jimmy said, which is discipline. And you notice when he said discipline, he said train. There are two types of discipline. There is formative discipline, and then there is corrective discipline. Corrective discipline is brought to bear when formative discipline has failed. And so what happens is some folks will spiritualize the idea that we're going to create these rules, and so we're not going to allow our children to have any of these freedoms and engage in all those things. They'll spiritualize those things, and they'll spiritualize them with their children. And so the kids will grow up thinking those things are bad, but then their kids will realize, well, there's something that's not really bad about that. The parents begin to lose credibility, and what happens is, as the kids gain freedom, which your child is gaining every day with every breath they take, you are losing control of them. That's what's happening. You have more control right now over your children than you will ever have in the future. Because the older they get, the freer they become, the smarter they become. And it's only a matter of time for most of us until your children are smarter than you. That's already happened for me. And so what you want to have is influence. And what you want to make sure you're doing while they're young is that you are equipping them to think well and to have wisdom, which means that you have to engage them on these issues. Because all the issues are not black and white, and if you make some things seem black and white to them that are not black and white to them, they're going to figure out it in black and white. And when they figure it out, you're not going to have a seat at the table to have a conversation with them about it. And they're not going to be equipped to know how to think about it. And so that's the way it works in matters of Christian liberty. So this is not what Ed asked me to speak about. But Ed knows there's a risk in inviting me to be a part of any event, all right? It's just the risk you take, all right? And I told him I don't have to be a part of this. But he said he wanted me to, all right? So, but this is, I realized when Jim was talking, and I was just kind of, and that's the way it works for me. I get in the room, and I think about the range and the spectrum of people that we have in the room, and the people we have in our church. And we all, here's the thing. Presbyterians and pagans alike, we're all cracked about the head. Herman Melville, Moby Dick, one of the great quotes in American literature. And it doesn't matter which end of the spectrum you find yourself on and where you feel more comfortable, you have freedom to live on that end. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You are not going to be able to avoid the need to train and equip and to engage vigorously. And your children are living in that world. And unless Yellowstone blows up and we go into another ice age and the two-thirds of the world population starves to death in the first year, all right, or you know, some zombie apocalypse happens or a solar flare knocks out all of our electricity and we can't figure out how to turn it back on, okay, which maybe those things will happen. I don't know. Yellowstone's a good bet. But unless those things happen, then your kids are going to grow up and they're going to have to navigate this, and technology is only going to become more invasive than it is now. It is not moving in the other direction. It's becoming more integrated with our lives. Your coffee table is going to be smart by the time you are retiring. And your kids are going to be frustrated with you because you're not going to have to set the clock on your coffee table. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You go over to your parents and they couldn't set the clock on their VCR, right? And so you go over and you go set the clock on their VCR because they couldn't record their TV shows. And a bunch of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But that's coming, and you're going to wear some little sensor on your hand and your coffee tables where all your family picture albums are going to be, and you're going to be sliding them all around. That's the deal. That's happening. And that's how you're going to talk on the phone, and that's how you're going to, I mean, it's all moving towards integration. And so the ability to think in a discerning fashion about all of this and to be self-aware is one of the biggest responsibilities we have for our children. And this is my concern for our girls. So let's move to the subject that I'm supposed to be talking about. All right? I'm good. Jim was short, so that means I get to be long. Here's the concern that I have for our girls. And really, I have it for our women, too. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I told my wife before we came over here tonight, a lot of you women are not going to be happy with me when we're done. All right? So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Is that the unreflective use of social media is incredibly destructive. And hear what I said. The unreflective use of social media, and I'm going to add, by our women and girls, is very, very destructive to our marriages, to character formation, and for the at the very core purpose for which God designed and created women, femininity. God's original design is, I believe, and I believe I could demonstrate it, but I don't have a team of sociologists who are working with me. All right, so one day if I get a team of sociologists who are doing their graduate studies and I can go tell them to do whatever they want to do, I got a bunch of studies I would love for them to do. But I believe there's enough evidence to demonstrate that it's really destructive. And we're going to see it in another 10 to 15 years. We're going to start to see it in Technicolor. Here's part of why it's so destructive. It's because we think that the problem that we have in the church with the internet is internet porn for our men. And everybody's paranoid and concerned about internet porn for their teenage sons. We're all terrified about it. Everybody's paranoid about it. Everybody's spending money on software, spending money on filtering software, trying to check it all out, and we're terrified about all of that. And yet it's interesting to me that I very rarely hear anyone who has grave concerns about the degree to which their daughter is superficially connected to 1,000 of her closest friends. Very rarely. Hearing concerns. I have never had a mother come ask me if it's appropriate, and remember, I've been in like 150 meetings, okay, designed to talk about femininity. I've never had a mother ask me if it's inappropriate for her teenage daughter to post on her Facebook page or to tweet pictures of herself and her friends at the beach. Never had anybody ask me that question. Never had anybody concerned about it. And it's not because they're not doing it. It's because we don't understand and we haven't thought about it in a very discerning way. We're unreflective. Okay, and if we do think about the tweeting of the pictures from the beach, then it's only because of whether she had on a bikini or a one-piece bathing suit, which is actually not the biggest issue. It is a modesty issue, but there's a bigger issue that's even more destructive in back of that. And so let's go back to the original statement I was saying, is that the unreflective use of social media is, in my opinion, a very dangerous and destructive practice. And the unreflective piece is really important. Now, here's what I'm going to say. We got a whiteboard up here. We got a small enough room. I would like for us to talk just a little bit about the good pieces and the bad pieces of social media. And for all the nerds in the room, some people tell us, we can move that. Thanks. Yeah, you can slide that over too. Thanks, Ed. All right. What's social media? When I say social media, what am I talking about? Give me some examples of it. All right, so we're talking about Facebook. All right, Twitter. Okay. Yeah. All right. You know what I call Instagram? Instacrap. But anyway, that's another thing. I'm about to tell you why. All right. No, I wrote Instacrap. Sorry, I didn't mean to write that. Instagram. And I can say crap in this room. I just can't say crap in that room. All right? All right. What else? All right, Pinterest. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Highly addictive, right? Come on. Okay, tell the truth. What else? All right, what else? Okay, YouTube. That's, you notice who said YouTube with both those voices? Dudes, right. YouTube is Dudeville, all right? What else? Okay, Snapchat. Okay, yeah, that's the other one. I kind of put that up here. I'm going to put that up here. All right. All right, what else? Anything else? What's that? Okay, sports form. Ah, there we go. All right, yeah. All right, but I'm not really wanting to talk about, I mean, how many of you women are in the sports forum? You join? No, my wife just raised her hand. Are you really, Sherry? What sports forum are you in? God, okay, yeah, I forget where I am. All right, so sports forum. All right. All right, so we have all these different online ways that we can connect with people and share information and ideas and communicate, you know, about stuff, interests, people with common interests, that sort of thing, all right? Now, I'm going to skew towards the broad spectrum of women, which excludes Sherry and my wife, because they were the two who raised their hands about sports forms, all right? We're going to focus on a handful. YouTube, not as much, a little bit YouTube, but Pinterest, Instagram, or Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. And really, Facebook, although Twitter with young girls, y'all know this, Facebook is Momville, right? All right, Twitter, and all the kids have fled Facebook, right? Because y'all are there. So, and here's the thing, some of you still think you're like hip mom and you know what's going on because you're in Facebook. They make fun of you behind your back. They do. Because it's Twitter, Instagram, and how all that works, all right? Now, what are some of the good things about this? Okay, so yeah, especially when your family is other parts of the world, you know, other parts of the country. Okay, so keeping up with family, so your family can see you live 800 miles away from your parents. They can see pictures of your kids. One of my kids grew 8 inches last year. All right, and so that's a good. Thankfully, we have grandparents who live close by, but that's a great opportunity to do that. Aunts, uncles, all that stuff. All right, what else? Okay, how to fix your dishwasher. Okay, I'm not even putting that on there because that's that gets in the way of what I'm trying to do. All right, what else? But that's true. You can. Okay, yeah. So communication for logistical communication. All right, with targeted groups of people. All right, so targeted communication, very helpful. All right, what else? Okay, so causes. All right. Great way to let people know about stuff that are within your network. I mean, you can communicate quickly. I mean, we do that as part of, and we take advantage of all that. That's how some of y'all found out about this, right? Okay, what else? Okay, business marketing, all right? What else? Okay, so certain types of advice, okay? Brainstorming. You can do that with targeted groups of people too. All right. Anything else? Okay. So let's put friends up here. All right. What else? Yep. Lurking. Okay. Why don't you explain to me? That sounds kind of, I think I know what you're talking about, but I want you to qualify it. All right. So what is it?
I'd rather not.
Okay. Okay, my kids call it creeping, okay? So, yeah, creeping, lurking, it's a way to spy on people. If you understand how to use it, it's a great way to know whether or not your son should be going on a date with somebody. right? Whether she's trending towards Proverbs 31 or she's trending towards the other woman in the beginning chapters of Proverbs, it's pretty easy to see. Not hard to know. All right? What else? Anything else? Got to move. All right, yeah.
Ways to make things run more efficiently or ideas to make things better.
Okay, so in Pinterest especially, is all about that, all right? So, you know, efficiency. Although one of the interesting things to me is a lot of people spend time getting great ideas from Pinterest that they actually don't take time to do because they're too busy being on Facebook and Pinterest, but that's another. All right, so I'd like to know how much efficiency actually is gained by that. All right, let's move over here. Let's talk about on the negative side. What are some of the negative parts of social media? All right, yep. Okay, privacy. Does not exist any longer. What's that? Loss of privacy. Yeah, 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 all right. Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go, all right. Okay, how does it create a sense of inadequacy, Molly? Okay. No, no, that's right. So it creates this idea of comparison. Yeah, unrealistic expectations, let's call it that, about a whole range of issues. We're going to talk, I'm so glad you said that. Okay, have you noticed how nobody looks as good as their Facebook picture? Nobody. There's not a one of you that looks as good in real life as you do on Facebook. And I could prove it right now. I got my iPhone right here. We could do it. All right. Yeah, what else?
I think people can write things that they wouldn't say.
Okay, so the normal social barriers. Okay, filters are gone. All right, that's a good way. So let's say social filters gone. All right, what else? I'm sorry, wait a minute. Time waster. All right, yeah, huge, huge, huge. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so there's some downsides to instant communication.
False sense of connectedness.
Huge one. Thank you, Barb. That's Barbara, right? I'm sorry, I almost called you Barb. I'm not supposed to do that. I know, I'm sorry, especially in public. All right. All right, sorry. I don't know why I do that. I know. False connectedness. All right. Okay, yes. Gossip. Busybodiness. How about that? Is that a word? Okay, huge issue. One of the big things, this is one of the things that I love to do social media, is how many marriages have been undermined by a woman and a man. We're dealing with a lot more female infidelity today, and this is where I'd like to, we don't have studies on all this today, but I would argue that social media is trending, just anecdotally, I know that social media is a catalyst for feminine infidelity, in that 10, 15 years into a marriage, woman is out there, and there are dudes who are trolling for their old high school girlfriends in their 40s. And I know we deal with this in our church. I could create a whole scenario for you. I could bring you up here, and I could write the dialogue for you off the top of my head because that's how common it is. With women reconnecting with guys, their husband, their marriage is not what it needs to be. Another man comes along who connects with them online in a way that it makes them feel in a way they haven't felt in a long time. It's common. It's common. Both for single women and for married women. I see that. And I've dealt with it personally with women in our church that I've been called in to help and counsel. So, yeah, for sure. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you're getting updates. And just let's just say distraction, okay? That's a big issue. All right, we're all tracking together, okay? So let's stop that for just a second, and let's go back to just kind of working our way through this. And this isn't real organized. I just want to give you a handful of ideas and things that you need to think about and stuff that we're going to have to figure out. But as a parent, I'm going to give you some ideas. And you're going to have to work to make these some of this stuff practical for you. But I want to give you some more. I'm going to give you more of the 30,000-foot theological issues. There are some of these things that it'd be real easy to say. It's just people picking on technology. And it really isn't that big a deal. But here's what I would suggest to you. Just as Jim talked about the idea of pursue, protect, provide, and how that can be corrupted in the virtual world through pornography and through video games, and I would say pursuit is also corrupted. Our boys are pursuing in the virtual world, and they're not having to overcome some normal social barriers that the rest of us had to overcome, like going and talking to a dad or looking a girl in the eye and having to ask her if she'd be willing to go on a date with you. Those things are, for the most part, passe. And so just real face-to-face social engagement. Here's why this is so destructive for our women. It's just as a man was created from the earth and for the earth, the design of femininity is taken from man and for man. And that's a clear parallel in Genesis chapter 2. And I know for some of you, it's offensive to you because of the way our culture has talked about this. But I just want you to look in human history. You can go read. There are books that are written by people who don't believe what we believe, who explain to you the hormonal, physiological basis for this. But there is a relational orientation to femininity that is not just anecdotal and it is not socialized. There are hormones. There are different hormones that are associated with it. And hormones are released. The hormone oxytocin is released in a female brain. It's not released in a male brain by conversation. In a female brain, oxytocin is released by conversation, and especially certain types of conversation. Doesn't happen to men that way. There's an orientation towards connection, communication. There's a capacity for that that is a part of God's design. We summarize it by talking about invite, nurture, and partner. And those aren't magical words. They're just summaries that we've tried to come up with that we believe are helpful ways for giving us a way to talk about these things. Now, here's what happens in social media. Social media hijacks those impulses, and it gives a sense of fulfillment that is artificial, much like pornography does for a man's desire to have intimacy with a woman, which is more physical and visual in orientation. And some of you are going, so you're telling me that Facebook is the same as porn. I'm not saying it's the same. What I'm saying is that it fulfills a similar function in the brain, physiologically, of a woman. And this is where I'm talking about self-awareness, is that that is powerful. It's at the core of who you are. It's why the women of our church are constantly staying connected to one another about everything from baking cookies to taking pictures to waiting in line. There's this need for connection it's a hit. And that sense of connectedness, and see, I told you some of you are going to get mad at me, all right? That sense of connectedness, it is biochemical. There's a piece of that is real, and it is physiological, and something that is that powerful and integral to how you're hardwired is something you better handle thoughtfully. And when you look at some of the problems that are over here, then you can begin to see the danger of it. And here's what I would say to you, is that social media platforms, but especially because of the proliferation of smartphones, it's amazing to me how many 11-year-old girls have smartphones. And I don't even have daughters, all right? So I got no skin in the game. I'm just telling you, it's amazing to me. And so what it does is, or even just an iPod that is Wi-Fi enabled, is it creates the ability. One of our moms was talking the other day about her daughter doing her homework. While she's got the computer beside her, she's doing homework, her friend's doing homework, and they are connected to one another, basically video conferencing while they're doing homework, talking to one another. Now, I'm not saying that's evil. I'm not saying it's today's sign of the apocalypse. I'm just saying it means something that we need to think about, that we need to regulate. This idea of constantly being connected. Because here's one of the problems with constantly being connected. If you are constantly connected to everyone, are you really connected to anyone? If the whole time I'm talking to you, and I know this because a bunch of you, I'm around your daughters, and I'm hanging out with them, and I know how many times they take their phone out of their pocket in a five-minute conversation that I have with them. And I know how aware they are of where all their other friends are and what their other friends are doing in that moment. So if they're always thinking about what their other friends are doing, always aware of what their other friends are wearing, always aware of what their other friends are thinking, then how aware are they of who they're with in that moment? And if they were created to image the glory, to image God and reflect His glory, by inviting and nurturing real people and partnering with real people in real space and time, how do they have energy to do that when all their energy is going to this superficial connection everywhere else? You tracking with me? It's pervasive. And I'm not talking about bad girls. I'm not even talking about sexting. I'm not talking about them wielding sexual power irresponsibly. I'm not talking about whether they're innocent and whether they're doing it. I'm talking about unreflective, because here's what happens. If they are unreflective and if they are not aware and you are not consciously helping them make decisions about that so that they trend towards Proverbs 31, so that they trend towards working hard, so that they trend towards giving glory to others around them, so that they trend towards owning the cause of other people, so that they trend towards sacrificing themselves for the benefit of other people. I'm just saying, taking pictures of yourself, Instagramming that, and sending your new outfit to 1,000 of your closest friends is not Proverbs 31. That ain't trending towards Proverbs 31. That's not trending towards being a there you are person. That's trending towards being a here I am person. Right? Which is the root of modesty. Got to give Renee Sweeney credit for that. She got it from somebody else, but that's where I got it from her. I've got so much mileage out of that. When a woman walks in a room, are you a there you are person or are you a here I am person? In the way you dress and the way you fix your hair and the way you carry yourself. Well, here's what I would say. Is taking pictures of yourself and sending 10, 15 pictures of yourself a day to 500 of your closest friends. And by the way, almost none of our daughters have their privacy settings set. So here's what that means. And none of their friends have their privacy settings set. So here's what it means. All the pictures that our girls are sending, not only can the people that they're posting who are in their network send, but all the people who are in the network, so the people that are in their network can see them. Because the privacy settings are a thing of the past. You go check that out with your daughters. Just a thing of the past. So you don't know who's seeing that stuff. And here's where my heart goes out to a lot of our boys. There are plenty of men in this room who realize that they had crossed some very significant but unseen boundary that nobody prepared them for when they saw the picture of Farrah Fawcett, the poster of Farrah Fawcett. You know what I'm talking about? All right? Or when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out one year. One year, you didn't even notice it when it came out, and your dad had it. And the next year, it came out, and you're like, "Ooh, where did this come from?" And you're like, "Oh, what just happened to me?" Okay, well, here's what I'll tell you. Is all that uncontrolled content that our daughters are posting, which a lot of them are posting in innocence, they're sending it to my sons, who are sitting in my living room, minding their own business. But who, because of Forge, and because they're connected in social media, and they need to be connected in social media. And so it's not just that my son is there and sees your daughter and sees that she's attractive. It's that my son's sitting at home minding his own business, and he's got to see your daughter and four of her closest friends in her bikini at the beach. Now he's got to deal with that. And it's a modesty issue, but not just in what she has on, but in the self-promotion that goes into that. And if y'all haven't read the Azair curriculum, then I want to really encourage, we've spent a lot of time and money in developing a way to talk about this and thinking about self-promotion. And here's one of the big dangers of social media, is that we are training our daughters to be self-promoting, because we're teaching them that every thought that they have is worthy of repeating, and they are not. We're teaching them that every time they get a new outfit, everybody needs to know that, which they do not. Because here's what it says, with what Molly was talking about earlier, is not only does it create issues for our boys when it's physically immodest, but it creates issues for our girls, and that our girls are comparing themselves to one another, and they all know where they rank on the beauty scale. And it's creating a gross, pervasive sense of inferiority among our young women who don't meet the standard. And because of the unreflective use of those kinds of things, and that kind of self-promotion, which may not be harsh in its intentions, okay? And for most of our girls, it isn't. But because our girls aren't thinking about that, and because our girls who are exceptionally beautiful according to the standards of our culture today, which are just temporal standards, but according to those standards, and they're not being careful about how they wield that, they're actually wounding the girls who are never going to be a size 6. And it's all the time, and they're all connected all the time. It's getting sent to their phone. They're getting updates about it. They're walking around. They're pulling it out of their purse. They don't even put it in their purse. They're just holding it in their hand. They're like, the whole time I talk to them. And I'm just telling you, the consequences of that in 20 years are going to be devastating. And here's what it's doing, is it's hijacking our girls' ability to have real intimacy with real people around real issues. That's part of what it's doing. And so here, and some of you are saying, that's why my daughter doesn't have a cell phone. And I hear you, okay? But she's going to have to get a cell phone at some point. So you're going to have to train her in how to think about these things. You're going to have to train her. You're going to have to teach her about modesty. We want all the women in our church to go through the Azair curriculum. We want you to go through it. Because we want you to have a language, and you say, well, I didn't really agree with this, I didn't agree with that. It's like, fine, well, then come up with something better. That's great. We would love to have something better. It's the best that we could do so far. All right, baby, you can make it better. Let's make it better. But you need a language to be introducing your daughter to help her understand why it is not a good idea for her to post pictures of herself 5 times a day. There's something about that is self-promoting. There's something about that violates some principles of Scripture, that it isn't sober-minded, which is one of the qualifications for deaconesses that we talked about earlier. It isn't sober-minded. The idea that everything's got to be fun all the time, I got to be showing everybody how much fun I am, and I'm the fun girl, I'm the cool girl. That's not the way life works, establishing unrealistic expectations. Just developing some discernment in how to think through all those things so that they're sober-minded. So they're thinking about how to steward their beauty. So they're being engaged with, how do you feel about comparing yourself to all of that? Sorry, it's a little bit of a rant, isn't it? And here's the big deal. This self-revelation outside of a relational context, that's one of the big things, is like, and y'all brought it up, the idea of there aren't the normal social barriers. I mean, girls post pictures, our girls, good girls post pictures that we could bring up right now and put on the screen, that you could bring up right now and put on your phone, of them wearing things that they would never come into this meeting wearing. Right? So that means something. So thinking about helping our daughters think about self-revelation outside of a social and relational context. Just being temperate in those things. Here's one of the other things that we're dealing with right now that you ought to be engaging your daughters on, is that pornography is becoming more normal for girls. Pornography and bisexuality are becoming more normal for our girls, and experimentation in those things. And part of why that is because it makes them cool with boys. And I know that's twisted and jacked up. I'm just telling you. That's a big piece. That kind of exploration, and we should not assume. I mean, the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing is an example of that, and how mainstream that is in our culture, and how normal that is. And it's very normal. Women in our church are reading it. And I know that because I know. I've had group leaders talk to me about it. And what do we, I couldn't believe. Okay, so that's normal. Our daughters are engaged in those kind of things too. And so we shouldn't just assume. I just want to tell you, recently I've had conversations about girls struggling regularly with masturbation and with pornography. And so, and social media is a piece of that. And some girls are learning to wield sexual power over boys. And this is one of the things that I've had to deal with my sons. They're girls, and we have a real, I think, honest dialogue about it. Consistently, I know there are things that I don't know, but we talk about, I mean, I don't know why you need to hide anything based on what we're talking about. And I know there are girls who are wielding sexual power over my sons through social media, trying to leverage it. We've got to talk about how to handle that. And so here's the deal, is that we got to be engaged on this issue. You got to be engaged on it. You got to know, you need to know how many texts your daughters are sending every month, and your sons. You need to know that number. If you don't know, and you can know it, it's easy to know it. You need to see how often they are updating their statuses. You need to see how many people they were following on Twitter. You need to sit. They need to be, there needs to be some standards for when and where they're able to engage in social media in your home. So everything's out in the open in our home. Okay, so when my kids are on Twitter, when they're checking out their Twitter feed, I'm there sitting beside them. Or I'm in the room with them, or I'm walking through the room with them. And it's common for me, and that's where they'll be like, God, you're such a creeper. I'm like, yeah, I am, sure. What do you think about what they posted? What do you think about that tweet? What do you think? Is that common for her to put that on Facebook? I don't have a Facebook account because I can't deal with it. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Because I cannot deal with what people I know are posting on Facebook. Some of it because it's so stupid. I'm just like, I just lost all respect for them. How am I going to see them knowing that they, because they seemed sensible to me, and now I know they don't have a lick of sense. I wish I didn't know that. So that's piece of it. But a piece of it is I feel hyper-responsible for all, and then I feel like I'm the police. It's one of my issues. I'm hyper-responsible. So I feel responsible for all kinds of things that I'm not responsible for. But I have to peek in and have to engage on all of that with my kids. I wish I didn't have to. And if you're not doing that with your daughters, especially, then you're in trouble. And they're in trouble. Okay? So you got to begin to engage. And there are books you can read. There's research that you can do. There are practical suggestions. And you need to be talking to people about what to do. You need to be talking to people who have daughters that you respect about how they're handling that. All right? All right. Rant's over. Ed's going to have lots of practical ideas for you. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for these folks and for the fact that they care enough about their children that they are here on a Friday night. Thank you that they are willing to engage on a difficult topic, and I pray that you would take this bundle of concerns that we have and that you would help us to be wise in how we steward the opportunities our kids have. We thank you for the benefits of that. We benefit from social media as a church. But I pray that you would help us to be vigilant in training and protecting our daughters and help us to not dismiss things that we shouldn't dismiss. Help us to have courage to engage them and give us patience so that we don't overreact and do crazy things. Because I know there are some people who are here right now who are probably a little bit panicked and they're tempted to go do some crazy things tonight. I pray you'd help them not do anything crazy. And I pray that you help them be calm. And I pray that you help them to think and to seek wisdom from you and to seek wisdom from others and to begin to engage, to move towards engagement with their children, especially the ones who have older kids who've already have a lot of freedom. Give them wisdom, help them to engage in ways that are respectful, and to begin to move and to lead in helpful and productive ways. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.